Tonight, I want to continue the series, Dangers Facing the Family Today. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, there's a very simple truth that we can glean from these three verses of Scripture, and that is this: where the ark of God was blessing. Where the ark was blessing. David wanted the ark back. David didn't know how to get the ark back, but he wanted the ark back. It landed in the house of Obed-Edom. And the Bible says in verse number 11, "And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom," and note this, "and all his household." We know that the ark of God represents the presence of God today. We don't have an ark. We don't have something that we carry as a church that has the presence of God attached to it. But we have the privilege to have the presence of God in our lives. It wasn't just a blessing to Obed-Edom who opened the door to have it there, but all of his household. The ark was there. It was in his home. And all of his household knew it, and they were blessed because of it. May I say this? Wherever God is found, God blesses. The heart, the home, and the church are three of these places that are of special concern to God. God wants to dwell in your heart. He wants you to know His presence every day. And my friend, that is possible. That is not something that's way out of reach. That is not something that is special to, God makes special to pastors or to priests. That is available for every believer, for you to have the presence of God. But our homes also need the presence of God. And our church needs the presence of God. And so I'd like to deal with a once popular subject in churches like ours that has fallen on hard times. It's the subject of a family altar. Tonight, the danger facing the family today is the forgotten family altar. Forgotten family altar. There's a dangerous philosophy of parenting that's entering churches like ours today. And the danger is this: parents are fine and glad to depend upon the church for all of the training of their children. There are too many in Bible-believing churches today that think the youth pastor, the Sunday school teacher, is the answer for teaching God's Word to their children. There are many who drop off their kids at Master's Club and mentally make a check on their list of parental goals. My child is memorizing Scripture and in a good Bible program, in a good Bible-believing church, check mark. I've done my job. My child's involved with a good youth group, check mark. I've done my job. I bring my children to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, check mark. My child training has been accomplished. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Don't misunderstand me. Our master's clubs and Sunday school programs and youth programs are all good things, and camps and VBSs. And I'm thankful for everyone, and I'm thankful for how everyone has helped me with my children and the instruction that they have learned and the people that have loved them and cared for them. But may I make a clear announcement tonight that these ministries of our church are no substitute for the family altar.
That's right.
They are no substitute for the family altar. And I fear that in churches that have a lot of things going like we have going, a lot of good things, by the way. These are good things. But that we forget the family altar. We have some couples that are getting to know each other. And, you know, there are things here that they can glean from. But, oh, nothing will substitute for them beginning to grow in the Word of God together and praying together and having a spiritual foundation for their relationships that they're developing. Nothing can substitute for those times together with a spiritual purpose. We are thrilled that God brings young people together, but if you're in that place tonight, let me encourage you to have a spiritual foundation to that relationship. Let me encourage you to spend time together reading the Scriptures and praying together and learning the Lord, about the Lord, and what the Lord wants in your life. The Bible says of
Abraham, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." If there's something I get from that passage, it's this, that Abraham would keep God at the center of his home. Abraham was going to make sure that his family would keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. My friend, if they were going to keep the way of the Lord, they would have to know the way of the Lord. That would be Abraham's responsibility as a father. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:3-4, "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." It doesn't say through money is a house builded. It says through wisdom is a house builded. Understanding, knowledge, those are spiritual terms. Those are things that have to be sought out in a family and have to be gone after in the Word of God. Somebody's got to lead that path in the home. The danger facing the family today is the forgotten family altar. If Christ is resident and Christ is president, then He ought to be resident and president of our homes. There ought to be time set aside for God in our homes. Recently, God stirred me up in my own heart on this matter, that I had grown a little lackadaisical on this front. And I told my family not too long ago that the Lord had been working on the family altar in my life, that there needs to be more family altar time in my life. Gentlemen, I'm really speaking to you tonight, and I'm asking you to build an altar in your home. And I'm talking about a family altar. The family altar is when you stop the day and remind the family that God is the center of your home and your life and your family. That has to happen in our homes. It has to happen that we have time with God together in our homes. It is a place of blessing. Do you want your children to be blessed? Do you want your marriage to be blessed? Do you want your family to have the blessings of God? Then bring God into your home. Build an altar unto God in your home. It's a place to be obedient and God conscious. It's a place where you open God's Word and you view it and you study it and you learn it together and you pray together over needs. The family that prays together, it says, stays together. In Old Testament times, people built altars to God to commemorate something that He had done. Altars served as a memorial to teach succeeding generations about God and His character. So if you can imagine journeying over in Israel and coming to a place where there was an altar built and your papa happened to know the history behind that altar. An altar built by a godly man like Abraham. And being able to teach your children that's with you what that altar meant. What were the events that were surrounding that altar? What God did when Abraham built that altar unto God. The family altar is basic. The first thing Abraham did after leaving Haran and arriving in the land of Canaan was to build an altar unto the Lord. We find it in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 7. That altar of worship that Abraham built became the center of Abram's family life. It affected his thinking. What he was sending to his children right out of the gate as they left Haran was that we're going to worship God together. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to build an altar together. This altar of worship affected his plans. It affected his actions. It directed his whole family to their focus being Godward in their lives. Brethren, every day we are smokescreened with all kinds of things that we can see horizontal. Our families need a time where our eyes are directed up here to God. We need a family altar. Maybe you need to reestablish it in your home. God is looking for altar builders to commune with. He's looking for families that would invite the ark of God into their homes where He could bless your home with His presence. The rebuilding of the family altar today will stem the tide of delinquency in our children. It'll raise a wall against the scourge of divorce. It'll solve a lot of trouble in our homes if we would just get back to meeting with God as a family. we would just get back to opening the Word of God together in our homes as a family. Daily prayers and Bible reading around the family table will equip parents with wisdom and help to anchor your children's faith in God. They will see God in action in your home. Don't you want that? Turn to Psalm 78 tonight. Psalm chapter number 78. Bible says in verse number 1, Psalm 78 in verse number 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open up my mouth in a parable." Verse number 2, "I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers and our fathers and our fathers have told us." Oh, there's some training that took place somewhere. Because this generation was saying that we're going to utter some sayings of old. You could say of these men in Psalm 78, they were kind of old-fashioned. Because they've been passed down some things that were old-fashioned. They said in verse number 4, "We will not hide them from their children. Showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." I wonder recently in your home if you've had a family prayer request that you prayed over at the supper table, or you got together as a family and prayed over and saw God answer and saw His strength in your family and was able to give praises to the Lord for the wonderful works that He hath done. It goes on to say in verse number 5 that, "For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel." Brethren, how are our children going to learn the laws of God unless we teach them? How are they going to have a trained conscience according to the Word of God unless we teach them? You say, "Preacher, I'm late in life. I'm learning these things later in life. I have older children." Listen, there's no bad time to start the family altar. I'd start it tomorrow. If you've never had one, I'd start it tomorrow. I'd get on it as soon as I could. But if you're here and you have young children and you've not had a family altar, then all the more means start it early with your children. Get them in the habit of understanding that we have time together with God. My father once stated this, "No TV show watched or work done around the house has paid as rich of long-lasting dividends to our family as having family devotions." Amen. Nothing else that we've spent time together doing has paid such rich dividends. Gentlemen, young fathers, listen. Nothing you do with your child will pay as rich of dividends as you taking time to read to them out of the Bible and instruct them and pray together with them and show them how to worship God. Nothing will substitute for that. I want you to see the fruit of family, the family altar tonight. I want you to understand that the Word is necessary for spiritual growth in your life and in your children's lives. The Word is necessary for spiritual growth. That's how we mature. You got maturity issues with your children that you're concerned about? Say, "Preacher, I have no idea what to do." I'll tell you what to do. Start a family altar and build the Word of God into it. Because it's the Word of God that brings about growth. The Word of God identifies the way in which our children ought to go. Say, "Preacher, I have no idea where to start family devotions." How about Exodus 20 and the Ten Commandments? How about, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me"? Boy, you can explain how God's developing people's lives, how children, teenagers, and adults have other gods that sometimes they follow and put above God. How about teaching them, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain"? Hey, your speech is important to God. Now, boys and girls, in our home, there's some words that we just don't use in a common way. We don't say, "Oh my," and you might spell it out. But you teach and you train. You start the Ten Commandments. My soul, that's an easy place to go through. "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." You can talk about the sin of lying in the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt not steal." You can role play the stealing in your home. Brethren, the Word of God is endless as to how it teaches us the ways of God. We learn the ways of God through the Word of God. If that's the case, then train up a child in the way he should go. If I'm going to know the way that he should go, then what am I going to have to study? I'm going to have to know this book. Now, one of the keys to family altar, especially speaking to gentlemen tonight, is that you first have to be in the book. You, individually, have to have communion with God. You got to be able to talk with God and have open lines. You got to let God talk to you through His Word so that you know what to share with the family when it comes time for family altar. His ways are found in His Word. You want your kids to know His ways? You want your kids to keep His ways? You as a couple want to keep the ways of God. Maybe you don't have any children yet. How are you going to know the ways of God? I'll tell you how you're going to know the ways of God. You get in the Word of God. And the Word of God will show you the ways to go in. I love the GPS technology in most cases. But if I don't have a GPS, I stop and ask someone. I stop at a gas station. I look at a map. I must know where I'm going. And Father, so must you. If you're going to lead in the area of the family altar. The Word provides direction for your home. It wasn't too long ago in our home that we had a family altar time. And something I brought forth to the family. And we talked about, we opened the Scriptures, we discussed it. And we discussed how it's applied in our lives. And a couple of my kids came back to me and said, "Dad, what you said last night I used today." And I went back and thought to myself, well, what if I wouldn't have said it last night? Then they wouldn't have had what they needed for the next day. That was part and part my responsibility. The weight was upon my shoulders to help them in that part of their lives. The Word enriches the environment of your home. It enriches the environment of your home. You feel tension in your home? You feel, just feel a little separated from everybody. Just don't feel as close as we used to be. Just a little edginess all over the place. I know your home never gets like that. My home does. You know what you can usually trace it back to? Lack of family altar time. You know what the family altar does? It enriches the environment. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. If we could take that and apply it to the home, let the Word of Christ dwell in your family richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. Sing together, pray together, read the Word of God together. You'll treat each other better. You just put those three simplicities in your home. Read together, pray together, and sing together. And your home will be better. It'll be a better environment because of it. The Word converts the soul. Young parents, may I speak to you tonight. We want those children to know Christ at the earliest understanding. At their earliest understanding that they would come to know Christ as their Savior. Grandparents, I know you're praying that way. Parents, I know you're praying that way. You say, "Preacher, how do I help that to take place?" You give them the gospel in the home. You give them verses. You start teaching them Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You start teaching that at 2 years old, at 1 year old. You start singing the songs, "One door and only one, yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you?" You start teaching gospel songs and get the Word of God into them. Why? Because the Bible says the law of the Lord converts the soul. Say, "Preacher, you think God can use that in my 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old's mind?" Absolutely. Absolutely. They are being made wise unto salvation at an early age. The Word provides cleansing. You have something enter your home that's polluted things? I mean, it's corrupt. I mean, some way, somehow, it got in. And it's corrupted. You. It's corrupted your marriage. It's corrupted your children. What should I do, preacher? Gather the family together around the Word of God and allow the Word of God to cleanse that thing. Take the bull by the horns and say, "This can't be in our home. And here's how we're going to deal with it." The fruit of a family altar provides so much when the Word is there. What is the point of family devotions, preacher? Is it a feeling of closeness and togetherness? Is it an exercise in spiritual discipline? Is it just a religious duty that we're trying to accomplish in the home? Is it a testimony proving that God means something to our family? Perhaps all of these are true to a certain degree. But there's one real reason, parents, why we need a family altar in our home. That is, God has commanded us to teach His Word diligently to our children. That is the hub of it. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know these verses. The Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Brother Peter's brought out that aspect of teaching, that throughout the day I can be talking to them about things. Yesterday, in my phone call with my son, we usually talk on Saturday nights, we talked about and shared with him the wonderful works of God that God has done in our family life and His provision over the past week. We were rehearsing the works of God together. And he was rejoicing on the other end of the line. Oh, listen, there's a lot to talk about that's good about our God to our children. If this is not happening where you have it in your heart, then you will have nothing to share. Your gun will not be loaded with truth to lead your family with. It will not have the comfort that you need to share with them when they need comforted. It will not have the conviction that you need when a child's straying a little bit to help have a passage that'll bring them back in line. It will not have the foresight that the Word gives, wisdom. Through wisdom is a house built, understanding it's established. You won't have the foresight to lead your children unless you have it in your own heart. That's the key. I want you to not only see the fruit tonight, but I want you to see the fortitude of the family altar. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16. The fortitude. Say, preacher, why the word fortitude? Because it takes resolve to do this. Just like it does for your personal devotions. If I'm talking with somebody about personal devotions and we're restarting personal devotions or starting personal devotions in someone's life, it takes determination that I'm going to, with God's help, get this into my life. I am going to establish something in my life that I know is going to please the Lord, or watch this, reestablish it. Reestablish it. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do you think that the days are evil today? Do you think that we waste time in our lives? Lots of it. Lots of it. One of the ways that we redeem time is we give ourselves to something that we know will spiritually impact us in a proper direction. We give ourselves to that. We make it a priority. We move it up the list in our lives. We move other things out in order to give time to this, which is important. I'm going to buy back time in this area. And in order to have a family altar that's been forgotten, somebody has to take the initiative to buy back some time. Last week in our life and leadership study on Tuesday nights with our young men, we talked about initiative and how that leadership requires initiative. If you're going to get a job, you have to take initiative. Somewhere along the line, it moves up in your mind, I need a job. In order to get a job, guess what? I've got to go after a job. I got to go meet somebody. I got to look for a job. I got to put together a resume. I've got to go and follow up on the person that I interviewed with because I want that job. I have to take initiative. That becomes a priority. I redeem time by saying, whatever I was doing at 10 o'clock in the morning before, now I'm looking for a job. Why? Because that's important to me. It takes initiative. I told the guys, if my house is going to be taken care of and maintenance on my house is going to be taken care of, guess what? I got to show initiative. If I can't fix it, I got to figure out somebody that can fix it. I got to pay somebody to fix it. But I've got to take initiative. And when the water's coming through the ceiling from the tub, I better take initiative right now. You know what we do? We redeem time. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, whatever else was on my mark schedule, if I've got water coming through my ceiling and my basement's filling up with water, I'm dropping everything else. I'm getting home and saying, whoa, we got to fix this. Something's got to do something. I redeem time. What do I do when I do that? I just said no to whatever I had planned doing because this becomes urgent. When we have forgotten the family altar, we have lost its urgency. There must be a fortitude within us. Gentlemen, speaking to the men of our homes, there must be a fortitude. There must be a resolve. There must be a determination. There must be a focus that I've got to get back to this. I've got to rebuild this altar in my home that I've let become slack. As you establish your family altar, you'll need to build it out of resolution. You understand the investment that we're talking about? You understand the multitude of hours that could take place investing in your children? And by the way, some of you are grandparents and you have opportunities with grandchildren to build a family altar with them. You understand that if you're the enemy, wouldn't you target this area in a home and fill it with everything else? By the way, there's a lot to fill it with. We can fill our days like that and leave this thing out. And before long, we've left it out for 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, a year. And the time is passing. And the days are getting evil, more evil as we go. More evil affecting our children, more evil. And I'm challenging you tonight. There must be a fortitude about this thing. There must be a man in a family that says, bless God, with God's help, we've got to establish this. We've got to give ourselves to this. We've got to make time for this in our lives. Children who become spiritual champions often are raised by adults who were spiritual champions. That is, they had some fortitude about them, about what was going to be priority in their lives. I like what Brother Peter said this morning. Let your children see that you're praying. Let them see you read the Bible. Boy, they need to see it's more real than just coming to church on Sunday and Wednesday. They need to see that your relationship with God is on a daily basis. The family altar is the forum you can use to address situations before they come. It's the forum that you can use to address sloppy Christian living. I remember on vacation a number of years ago, the Lord led me in some different family devotions on sloppy talk. All of our family altars on that vacation was around sloppy talk. Words that were slang, that were closely associated with swear words. And how we get sloppy in our words. And you know what? I sat there and thought, maybe I'm just being too picky on this. But then the Spirit seemed to prompt me and say, well, if you don't, sir, as the father of your home, who is going to address that? I had to address it. I'm the priest of my home. It's my job. The family altar is my responsibility. As I was looking through some of our family devotional things that we've done, I remember when the kids were smaller, we did these prayer heroes, Bible heroes, and we would give them little cards. And they're printed on paper, but we put them on like a poster board card or something like that. And then we taught them about the different Bible characters from the Bible and the meaning of their names and what their strong points were. We did that one time. I remember when the kids were crossing into the teen years, and one of the things that we constantly need reminded about is discretion. And so we built some studies around discretion in our family altar and what discretion is and choosing my words carefully and practicing good manners and not making fun of others and turning down invitations to do wrong. All those things tied into discretion. We had the opportunity to work with that. I remember when they were getting old enough that we sat down on the floor and we worked through a book study. We all had our Bibles and we were laying on the floor in a circle, all five Bibles there in a circle, and we began to read the Bible and I showed them how to look for repeated words and phrases. And what do you get out of verse number 7? What comes out of that? The other night we were in Proverbs 9, did the same thing, read Proverbs 9 together, and then mined out. What do you see here? What do you see? Who's calling in verse number 1 and who's calling in verse number 16? And what are they calling to? And what is a simple person? And all of those things that we get out. I was going through files the other day and looked and saw the kids' chores. And I remember one of our family altars was putting upon them the yoke of their youth. It is good for a man to bear the yoke of his youth. And I introduced them to chores around the house. And we had checklists like this that we posted on the refrigerator. And they learned to do daily chores. I remember a prayer basket that we did and pulled that up and looked through that. How we had, we cut little slips and we put them in a basket together. And when we'd have our family altar, they would draw something out of the basket. And they would maybe pray for the family, mamaws and papaws they might pray for. Or they might pray for the church needs. Or they might pray for a couple of ministries. Or friends of ours, pastors and missionaries and deacons. And they would just pull one out. And then we would just pray around and they would pray over their slip that they drew that night. We used a prayer basket for a while. I remember writing missionaries and putting coins in the shape of a person and mailing those out to missionaries. We did that in family devotions. I remember using Bible bucks that we gave away to our children when they were young. And when they would do something that pleased the Lord, one of the things we worked on was initiative and level 6 obedience and how that you obey without having to be told. Boy, when we see that in your life, we're going to reward you with a Bible buck. And they got a Bible buck. And as they earn Bible bucks, we might take them out for an ice cream treat or do something special with them. I remember one time that the Lord impressed upon my heart, boy, there's some basic verses that my kids ought to be learning early. And that they have the potential to memorize in a great way early on in their lives. So I pulled this file up of verses to memorize in family devotions. How about Genesis 1:1? How about Psalms 23, verse number 1? How about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We bring those into our family altar time and we just review a couple every night. But over time, they would memorize lots and lots of verses that would help them in their Christian life. There are all kinds of things that you can do. There's no right formula for the family altar other than to promote the Word of God. And to pray together. And then we sang together. Oh my, did we sing together. We had a song, especially when they were young. We did the countdown. 10 and 9, 8 and 7, 6 and 5 and 4. The countdown's getting lower every day. 3 and 2 is coming through the clouds of bright array. And the kids would run around while we're singing. And then we get to the countdown's getting lower. And we would, lower, lower. Lower. They had fun with them. And taught them at the same time. And then we listened, Jenna, as they were young, they would wait till I'd say, and 10 and 9, and we started all over again. Boy, they'd be happy that we were starting it all over again. And lower, and lower, and lower. All those kinds of things. You know what? I don't look back at any of those things and say, boy, I wish I would have never done that. What a waste of time. Oh, no. No, those are never a waste of time. There's a lot of things we can look at in our lives, folks, and say, wow, we wasted time there. Boy, the phone has more hours in my life than what I realize. The computer, the shopping. But what about the family altar? Does that have its proper place in our families, in our lives? He said, preacher, how do I get started? You keep it simple and you keep it on the level of your listeners. Right? Just some pointers here as we close. Keep it simple and keep it on the level of your listeners. Don't be talking about the prophecies of Ezekiel 38 and 39 with your 4-year-old. Now, my boy just read a book on those prophecies, and we had a very in-depth discussion on that. But he's 18 years old, not 4 years old. And so keep it simple. Keep it on the level of your listeners. Keep it short. Don't try to tackle everything in one night. Make it fun. Have it to be something that they can look forward to. Teach a Bible truth, a Bible principle, or a Bible example. If you've got junior high and above, get in the Proverbs. We're going to read a proverb tonight. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to understand the proverb. We're just going to ask some questions about the proverb. There is so much wisdom packed into those chapters of Proverbs for our young people. Oh my, you won't waste your time if you park there. If your children are young, use a picture Bible. We did that when they were really young. We just opened up a picture Bible, told them a Bible story with the pictures and the picture Bible. Start with your children picking a favorite song. You don't have to do it all. Let your children pick some of those things. Read a Christian biography. Role-playing training scenarios. It was a couple years ago that God put on my heart, you know what? My kids are going to start being around people that are different and Christians that are different. What are they going to do with that? How are they going to handle that? So we did a number of family altars on this subject. What if they say? What if they say that, you know, we believe the King James is, the NIV is as good as the King James? What if they say, well, you know, baptism, I don't know that it's really necessary. What if they say, you know, the modesty issue, I think that's kind of open for interpretation for anybody to decide on that issue. What if they say, and we just kept going through, what if they say Jesus isn't God? What if someone you are working with says that? What if another Christian says that? How do you respond? You got to know what you believe. And we walked through those issues and we talked through the scriptures on those issues and the principles that affected those issues so that they would have groundwork. Now, are they going to remember all that? No, so what am I going to have to do? Go back and train it again. But fodder, how to show respect, the froward heart, memorizing scripture together. We've been working through Colossians. Build up one another night. We did that. We had a family altar night where we just said, okay, in our family tonight, I just want everybody to go around and I want you to start off by saying a good word about your family member that's sitting next to you. And the next time we come around, you'll say it about the family member that's 2 seats away and 3 seats away until everybody has said something, a good thing, about each other. Huh. You talk about changing the environment of your home? That'll do it. That'll do it. I'm just giving some fodder tonight. I just want to end by saying this. Brethren, there is so much to be accomplished in the family altar that to forget about it and leave it out of our lives, I think is a crucial mistake. I don't believe there's a substitute. You say, preacher, I didn't grow up with that. Man, I had good parents and they were Christians. They taught me a lot of good things, but I've made it without it. That doesn't mean you ought not to do it. All right? We've had a lot of good parents that maybe had never established that. I'm not knocking on those folks tonight. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that every father here ought to initiate a family altar. And that's where it starts. He said, I have a father in my home. If you're a single parent, then you initiate it. You initiate a time with your children around the Word of God, around prayer, around singing and worshiping God. You can talk about standing alone. You can talk about finding a life partner. Right now we talk a lot about that topic. We talk about not quitting. We talk about how to treat what belongs to others, cleanliness, benefits of salvation. The list is endless. If you say, preacher, I'd like to get started, but I need help, email me. I'll shoot you all kinds of things that you can have in your files to use. But let's have a fortitude to get this one right. Let's not leave the training of our kids up to a Sunday school teacher or up to the preacher or up to the youth worker. Let's understand the primary person in that home that God gave for that is the parents. Lord, help us to avoid this danger.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,